AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. I'm Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, along with Travis Ryer, the proprietor of the Ryer on YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out, like it, subscribe to it, super content there, led by the Talking Tide podcast, of course, with you twice weekly throughout the football season, midweeker. Pre-Thanksgiving edition of Talking Tide here to preview that Iron Bowl. Of course, touch on Alabama basketball as well, which is playing some wee hours games right now at this tournament in Las Vegas. But of course, we begin with a preview of the Iron Bowl coming up on Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Alabama comes in 9-2 on the season, 6-1 in SEC play. Auburn comes in 5-6, looking for bowl eligibility, and just 1-6 in SEC play. Just one league dub for Auburn so far in 2025. The kind of year that's certainly forgettable for Auburn fans, though, Travis, but a win at home in the Iron Bowl to ruin things for Alabama. It's kind of deja vu, Travis. It seems like that's Auburn's situation more often than Auburn fans would prefer, but here we are again.
Yeah, not often enough bowl eligible, really. Forget about CFP eligible for Auburn, but this is the bowl game in a lot of ways for the Auburn Tigers. Now, win it, as you said, and you're certified for bowl action.
Yes.
In a interim situation. Of the four interim situations in the league right now, this one, though, feels like there's some positivity in the last few weeks. Like, maybe a corner has been turned a little too late for Hugh Freeze, but specifically to the Auburn offense and what we've seen, even in the loss to Vanderbilt, a very exciting game between the Commodores and the Tigers. And then it was Mercer last week, but an explosive performance once again for the Auburn offense. So a little bit of a streak for Auburn offensively coming into this game. With Ashton Daniels at quarterback and those wide receivers, those three or four guys that you thought would be really good throughout the season, feels like they're sort of finding their stride too at the right time, or a little bit late, depending on how.
Yeah. Who would have thought that dumping Hugh Freeze in exchange for DJ Durkin would have made Cam Coleman and Singleton turn the corner? I mean, how do you figure?
I know. And it just seems like what we've seen in the interim situation the last couple of games has looked more like what you expected Auburn to look like. Spreading the field, creating explosive plays, a quarterback and Daniels that can really hurt defenses with his legs. He certainly did it against Vanderbilt before sitting out against Mercer last week to preserve his red shirt. Cobb at the running back position having a very big year. So the pieces look like they're there. Now, big injury for Auburn at the center position, probably about a month ago or so, with two going down there. But it seems like they've had time to sort of reshuffle or revamp that group with his absence. And even they are playing a better brand of football up front right now.
What do you make of the Auburn quarterback situation, Travis? Who do you see starting the game, and what likelihood do you see maybe two Auburn quarterbacks playing in this game?
You know, I would think this is Ashton Daniels' game. You go into it thinking that because, again, the way he played against Vanderbilt, throwing it, running with it, very, very impressive. And so felt like they found a little something offensively. Tempo, spread the field, create some mismatches, take advantage of Daniels' mobility. So I'm going into this expecting Ashton Daniels to be the guy throughout. Now, you know, you saw Deuce Knight last week. Very, very impressive. I took that as more of big picture positivity for Auburn, depending on how this next hire goes, depending on if he's still at Auburn next season. Very impressive, no doubt about it. And maybe you package him some because of his mobility, but it's not like these are entirely different guys. This isn't Peyton Thorne and Deuce Knight. Right. You know, this is Ashton Daniels, a guy who can do a lot of good things with his legs too.
Alabama's defense playing definitely on top of its game at this point. It's played well down the stretch, played well against Oklahoma, played very well against LSU, obviously dominated Eastern Illinois. That would be expected. But Quay Rousseau, one would assume, is going to be ready to rock and split snaps maybe a little bit more evenly with Yonsei Pierre. At the same time, Pierre has been a little bit of a revelation down the stretch for Alabama. Travis, he's emerged as the pass rusher they've been looking for in the second half, stepped up his game. Despite that, though, Rousseau being available for this team is big for this defense. I think it's nothing but a positive for Alabama to bring him back. You almost wish that he'd be coming back to take snaps away from somebody else, though, right? Because Pierre's been very good.
He has, although I do wonder, they have played some 3-4. So do we see Pierre and Rousseau out there together?
Right.
The problem with that is that leaves you with, obviously, a four-man secondary. And if you're going to play four on the back end and Auburn spreads you out, you get into some man coverage situations with Cam Coleman and Singleton and Perry Thompson and these guys, you know, that could be problematic. So it will be interesting to see kind of how Kane Womack goes about it. And also because of tempo, if they get you in that sort of 3-4 look, you can't get it changed to nickel and dime if you want to. You can get stuck with personnel on the field. I think if nothing else, it keeps Yonsei Pierre fresher. You know, Quay Rousseau should be fresher. I like Rousseau because I think first and foremost, and I think Yonsei's done a good job of this too. I think first and foremost, you got to take care of Cobb, Daniels, and the rest of that run game for it to matter about the pass rush. So, and even in the pass rush, I don't know if this is a week where you really get after the quarterback in terms of being aggressive in your approach, right? Because if you do that, then you open up some potential running lanes where Daniels can hurt you with the extended play.
Yeah, Rousseau is a physical guy, brings a physical presence. He can set an edge against the run. I think he helps Alabama against the run. And definitely, if you're Kane Womack, you want to put this game on Daniel's shoulders, right?
Oh,
as quickly as you possibly can. And so, yeah, Rousseau brings that. I like Rousseau for Alabama on the field side and not the boundary side, right? Because that on the field side, if he's setting an edge, he can make a bigger difference out there. The boundary side, the sideline's going to help you a little bit. So I think it's – and look, if you're Kane Womack, you can't set that up play to play maybe as well as you want to. But I do think Rousseau can bring a lot to the table, at least on early downs. Not that he can't rush the passer, because he can. Mm-hmm. But based on what we've seen from Pierre over the second half of the season, really starting with, I think, Tennessee when he racked up those three sacks, Pierre is the guy you want on the field for sure on third down, no matter where the football is, right? Boundary side, field side, as long as we're not talking about third and one or two. Third down passing situations, have Pierre coming off the edge. Early downs, Rousseau can get in there and make a difference.
I don't think there's any doubt. Ideally, I think that would be a big part of the plan for Saturday night. Again, tempo, though, is where that can be problematic, because if Auburn's able to go fast and make first downs and continue to progress in terms of their possessions and moving the football, that's where it gets tricky. You have to make some decisions, I think, against an offense like that before every possession in terms of, this is what we're going with for this possession, because you may not get a chance to sub as much as you would like. Sure. I think with Auburn's run game, it's tough because you want to set those edges, especially against those perimeter runs. But some of these zone runs where there's that cutback and that backside edge has got to squeeze down and sort of take away the cutback while also trying to, you know, maintain principles against and leverage against the quarterback in the case of a keep. It's what we've seen now for years in college football, especially, but no doubt. I mean, having Rusaw, having Yanze together for the first time in a long time, that's nothing but a good thing for the Alabama defense.
Turnover margin going to be huge in this one, Travis. It's been a big factor for Alabama all season long. Alabama went into the Oklahoma game plus 10 in turnover margin on the year. Obviously, they're not that good right now, given what happened against the Sooners. But, I mean, look, from game two up until Oklahoma, turnover margin was a big part of the winning streak that put Alabama in the position of reaching the SEC title game, reaching the college football playoff. It all went haywire turnover-wise against the Sooners. And it wasn't great against EIU, right? Because Ty Simpson threw a pick, should ended up with two. We talked about that. I mean, one of those two was no big deal, but he probably should have thrown three because another one was dropped. I asked Ryan Grubb about that on Monday. But turnover margin on the road at Jordan-Hare, you have got to, at a minimum, Travis, play Auburn even in turnover margin at a minimum.
You do. I think special teams is a part of that too, because there's instances in the kicking game, like against Oklahoma, where you were minus three in turnover margin, but then when you considered what Oklahoma got out of the punt return game and its special and its kicking of the football, it felt like even more than minus three. So yeah, field position's going to be a big part of that too. In some instances where there are some turnovers in this game, I think it's almost how Oklahoma and Alabama have seemingly switched places here in the last month as football teams in terms of where Oklahoma was headed. We thought, and where we thought Alabama was headed. Oklahoma wasn't a great turnover margin team a month ago. They flipped that script. They flipped that now. They are in the last three games or so, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri last week, they have become a very good turnover margin team. And to your point, Alabama has had a drop-off, no doubt about it. And, you know, you kind of wonder how teams sort of trade places as the season moves on. Oklahoma doesn't run the ball either, you know, so it's kind of nuts for nuts with that. With Alabama, it's due in large part to turnovers. You're right. I mean, you can't go down there this weekend and be minus three in turnover margin and think you have a great chance to win. You got to take care of the football. Something Alabama has done much better this season in terms of going on the road is penalties. They've been a lot cleaner in the penalty department. Auburn so far or this season hasn't been very good from a penalty perspective. So maybe that comes into play Saturday night as well.
Injury situation. The injury report is out. The initial injury report, Travis, let's touch on that really quickly. Josh Cuevas out for Auburn. We kind of knew that this past weekend, but it's official now. He will not play against the Tigers. Big loss for this offense. Big loss for Ty Simpson, who's leaned on Cuevas in some big situations throughout the season. Also, Kevin Riley, not going to be playing in this game either. Your thoughts on those two situations and how they might play out?
Yeah, we're kind of working through some of the Wednesday practice footage provided by the University of Alabama here for our viewers. And right there, you saw some of the tight ends. Caleb Edwards, big week for the true freshman, although it feels more like he's a little bit of a sophomore. He's played a lot of football, so that's been of a great benefit to them, especially at this point. I don't know. The roles aren't entirely the same in terms of what Cuevas was doing a good bit of and what Caleb Edwards had done to this point. I got to think, though, big picture, they're thinking about Caleb Edwards being that guy like a Josh Cuevas. So maybe he's already well adapted to what he's going to have to do on Saturday night. And then Jay Lindsey, you know, another young tight end, you got to think it's going to be a big part of things. We're still working through the footage here, and we're going to get to, I think, coming up here in a minute, Marshall Pritchett. You wonder about him. He's an intriguing guy. You know, I went into this game thinking maybe we see more of Kevin Riley, you know, in the game as a third back or maybe even a co-number two at least. Well, we found out tonight that's not going to happen because he is out on the injury report. I just think, and I know Jeremy Bernard's on the injury report tonight is probable. Based on Jeremy's comments this week, I'm guessing Jeremy's thinking he's definitely playing Saturday night. I think Grubbs, he's already done it. It's not going to be a surprise, but I just think the way in which they're going to utilize Jeremy Bernard in terms of how they line him up, where they position him snap by snap. You know, I think there could be some situations where it's 11 personnel, but he's in the backfield with a back. So it's kind of more like 21. I think that's going to have to be a big part for them to try to cover for the loss. Josh Cuevas, and other than that, guys like Caleb Edwards and some of those other tight ends just going to have to step their game up.
Yeah, a couple thoughts from me. First on the tight end position and Caleb Edwards. I like Edwards. I think Edwards has a chance to be a hell of a player at Alabama as a freshman. I think he can get open effectively. I think he catches the ball well. I don't think there's a huge difference between him and Cuevas in terms of just being getting open and catching it. The difference to me is Cuevas is dangerous after the catch. You could throw the ball to Cuevas short of the sticks, and he can get the football past the sticks. Edwards, I'm not quite seeing that from him yet as a true freshman. And so to me, Edwards can be a big part of the passing game for Alabama, but I would like to see Edwards running routes that are past the sticks at the catch point, right, in this game. Because I don't think you could count on Edwards to turn and drag people or leap over people or make a move on people and get yards after the catch quite like Cuevas can do.
Well, I think Grubb does a nice job, and he did this with Cuevas against Oklahoma, is if DJ Durkin and Auburn is going to bring some pass rush from that second level, Alabama can hit the voids pretty well. And that's more quick than the intermediate or deeper type of stuff with the tight ends, because you're going to have to really protect your ass off to do that. And I don't know if they're capable of that down in and down out. So sure, I think Caleb Edwards, you want to throw him the more intermediate routes, that's great if you can protect it. But if you're able to catch Auburn in some of those voids that are created, not even so much in terms of 5 and 6 man pressures. I mean, if they bring a linebacker in a zone look, zone blitz, and you can hit it, you know, you can create some yards after catch for Caleb Edwards. You're not going to ask him to do it as much on his own, which is your point with Josh Cuevas. He can do it either way. You know, he can hit the void, or he can do it on himself one-on-one after the catch.
Running back wise, some thoughts there with the injury to Kevin Riley. Given what we've seen this season, we have barely seen Richard Young at all. We have barely seen Dre Washington or A.K. Deer at all. Given that, I can only assume this is going to be a two-man show between Daniel Hill and Jam Miller in the absence of Kevin Riley. Maybe they work a third back in there somehow, but I just don't see it, Travis. I'd be surprised if they didn't decide to just roll with two in this game. Had Riley been healthy, different story. He brings a different dynamic. He's quicker. He can make some people miss. He can catch the football out of the backfield. You send him out the flat. We've seen Riley make some catches downfield even this season. So I think it's not a Cuevas level loss, obviously. But I do think the loss of Riley narrows this thing down to a two back situation for Ryan Grubb.
I mean, that would be the most commonsensical approach to it, no doubt about it, given how much we've seen a Jam in Hill, especially in the last month. I mean, it's been almost exclusively those even two guys.
It's been their show without Riley, but even when Riley's been good for the most part.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, you just don't want to get dictated to from the opening snap. And that doesn't mean you have to come out and go deep in the bag from play one if you're Ryan Grubb, but, you know, just enough to keep, you know, a couple of these guys for Auburn on the edge and also at the linebacker positions, honest. You know, I thought Grubb and Alabama did a great job of that against Georgia and in some other games this season. I think that's what it's going to take, figuring out ways, create some easier opportunities in the passing game out on the flats. That's where Quavis was really, really effective. You know, and that's where you're going to ask Edwards and even some of these backs. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing some two back. Now, that may incorporate more of Jeremy Bernard as a pseudo back to go along with Hill or Jam Miller. And I also think we talked about this, I think, on the Sunday night show. I think you're going to have to probably get Ty Simpson involved in the run game. You know, I'm not saying, you know, Alabama ran for over 200 yards against Auburn last year. Thing is, Jalen Milroe ran for over 100 in that game. Jalen Milroe had over 100 rushing yards and three rushing touchdowns. You're not that offense this year. But I still think Ty, just enough anyway, is going to have to run the football to slow down some pursuit and help that run game with the backs as much as he can.
Yeah, Milroe made a difference for everybody in the running game last year. And look, he was turnover prone for sure. And I get all the criticism that Milroe caught last year. He was disappointing in a couple of different ways. However, the way he was able to run the football, not only did it make an impact himself as a runner, he helped open things up for Jam Miller. He helped open things up for because defenses had to respect the keeper, you know, with that zone read stuff.
Yeah.
They don't respect it with Ty Simpson nearly as much. And so, like we, you know, like we, I think, talked about on the Sunday Nighter, Simpson's got to be ready to pull it and keep it and get outside and see what he can do out there. Not a ton, but here and there to move the sticks wherever he can and just stay in front of the sticks. Don't be sitting in third and eights and third and 12s. That's the last thing you want, especially with Quavis out.
Yeah, and early down success doesn't have to be, you know, huge. But it can't be that the Auburn defense is teeing off on you on early downs to the extent where you're second and 12 or second and 10 a lot. It doesn't have to be reinvention of the wheel. Just whatever you need to do to stay more in second and seven and second and six is going to help Ty Simpson, these running backs, and the rest of this offense. I will be interested, though, to see if there's a third back in the game. And if there is, as you said earlier, is it Richard Young, who we haven't seen in forever? Not in terms of being a legitimate part of the game plan, a rotational, legit rotational guy. We haven't seen Dre Washington. Dre Washington's actually been pretty good on special teams, but we haven't really seen him at running back. Or could it be A.K. Dear? Because A.K. Dear, as much as any other back, brings something different to that group. Now, what's the trust level in him at this point in terms of everything else that goes with playing that position? And we talk about these young guys, even Caleb Edwards. If you throw more Marshall Pritchett in there at the tight end position, A.K. Dear, the things I worry about in a game like this are ball security as much as anything. I'm intrigued by getting those kind of guys the ball ample times. Where it gets a little bit dicey for me is when I start thinking about, like we saw with Oklahoma, attacking the football. And if they're attacking the football against your best players on offense, you know the game plan this week is going to be, hey, that young tight end, 81, let's go after the footballs. Hold him up. Let's get it out. Let's try to get the ball out. Same thing with some of these other guys like A.K. Dear if we see him more this week.
Two more points on Alabama offensively, Travis. One, that left guard spot, right? It looks like Alabama seems to be settled at four out of five spots now. I think they like Will Conformby at that right guard spot. Carroll settled at that right tackle spot. Who starts at left guard, and does he go wire to wire? Is one question, and then totally unrelated, but still having to do with the Alabama offense. Do we see Ryan Grubb on the sideline? I think we do. Your thoughts on both of those points?
Yeah, it would seem possible, very possible that Grubb makes it 2 weeks in a row. I know it was sort of billed and talked about in terms of just experimenting and just kind of seeing what it looked like. But, you know, based on Ryan Grubb's comments Monday, he seemed pretty pleased with it. So, yeah. And he seems very confident in the help he's got in the box. Right. And that's a big thing. I mean, your eyes on the sky.
Yeah.
If you're going to be down there, you better absolutely trust the guys that you have up there. And it sounds like those boxes are checked. So I'm almost of the belief at this point that I'll be more surprised if he isn't down there than if he's up in the box.
How about that left guard spot? What do you see becoming of that and desirable?
Yeah. You know, they've pretty much gone with Cam Dewberry there, at least to start games. But then as games wear on, we've seen that substitution pattern. You know, I think you've got to be a little bit maybe careful about how you deal with Geno Vandermark in this game, because it doesn't sound like Parker Brailsford, while he is listed as probable, Chase, for Saturday night, you get the sense he's still going to be dealing with something. And if it becomes a bigger issue for him during the game, I would think you want Vandermark ready to go as much as possible, right, especially because you've had another injury at the center position. Now, it's a guy you don't anticipate playing, but it's the 12th game of the season. This is how things can happen. You can get down the depth chart pretty damn quick. And I know they cross-train guys, okay, from those different spots. But I would think you go Dewberry and try to ride with him. It seems like Cap likes getting Vandermark into the game, so that won't surprise me either. I guess my bigger concern is, can Brailsford go 60 minutes and be what he needs to be there on the football?
Yeah, I agree. Dewberry does seem to kind of be the favorite. For a minute there, midseason, it looked like they were just going to stick Jaden Roberts. I thought for a minute Jaden Roberts, hey, he's back, he's going to stick there. I think he played wire-to-wire back-to-back games, and he just kind of disappeared. So it's been crazy at that guard position, really both guard positions. It's been pretty wild. But
between those guys and your backs, you better have your crap together, because, again, Xavier Adkins – The sophomore linebacker, I mean, he'll come get you in the A-gaps or in different ways that DJ Durkin can draw it up. I know a lot of people look at this Auburn defense and they think, boy, Keldrick Falk, you know, that's the guy. When you talk about the defensive end position, he's a really good player. But the way Adkins can disrupt things guard to guard and with your backs, you better be what you need to be at those spots this week.
And Atkins isn't the biggest guy in the world, right? I mean, what does he weigh, 210, 215? I mean, you wouldn't think a guy like that could be that effective, like in the A-gaps and kind of playing on his toes instead of his heels. But he's effective with that too. Reminds me a little bit of Justin Jefferson, right, in terms of size. Mm-hmm. You know, Jefferson's not the biggest guy in the world either, but really athletic, really active, and – If you get your hands on him as a blocker, it's hard to keep your hands on him as a blocker.
Yeah, I mean, Atkins in his last four SEC games, I think it's 8.5 tackles for loss. You know, he has 15 and a half. He has 15 and a half on the season, and he has 7.5 sacks. So we can talk about Falk, and he's it's a worrisome situation with him, but he has 2.5 sacks. Whereas Atkins has been very, very disruptive, really, from start to finish. And I know you look at some of these numbers and you go, well, you know, what about the competition? And I understand that. And really, through the first four games of the season, Atkins wasn't putting up those big numbers. But he had two TFLs against Texas A&M. He had two against Missouri. He had four against Arkansas. He had 1.5 against Vanderbilt. It's almost been every game now for about the last five or six.
Got to move the pocket a little bit too, I think, if you're right.
So. Yeah, like that.
You and I have talked about that too. I mean, some design rollouts and some things to get them off the spot. Not that Simpson isn't a guy who can, you know, Simpson's a mobile quarterback. He's not a statue back there. But I still think it helps to move the pocket a little bit, especially when you're rolling him toward the field side where there's more space, get some guys open and just kind of change things up. If you're Ryan Grubb, if you're Ryan Grubb and you cannot run the ball and it's going to be another one of those damn 25 for 70 nights on the ground, you better have a lot in the bag with the passing game.
And I think that's where Jeremy Bernard, as a sort of utility player this week, probably takes on even increased value for this offense because of the different things Ryan likes to do with him formationally. Hell, he'll catch it. He'll run it. If I put the total for Jeremy Bernard at 1.5 passes this week, I might be tempted to go over that. That's the extent that I think Bernard is likely to be involved in this game plan and very well might need to be. And I'm with you, though. I felt this way about Ty Simpson going into the Oklahoma game. They were going to have to move him, right, against that pass rush, against that defense. Did it some, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's even more of it this week. And again, if Auburn's going to get downhill and not respect the potential pull or the keep on some of the zone stuff, I think Ty's got to keep it. Doesn't mean he has to go for, like you said earlier, 20, 25, 30 yards. It doesn't have to be explosive, but hit him for 6 or 8 on first down. First and 10, you show that zone and he keeps for 7 yards, 2nd and 3. And now they've got something else to think about. I think there's going to have to be that kind of mix.
All right, solid half hour for you on the Iron Bowl right there. Going to take a quick break right now on the Talking Tide podcast. Tell you about Parker Covers Alabama, nonprofit 501c3 organization supporting wheelchaired residents of the state of Alabama. ParkerCoversAlabama.com is the website if you would like to donate and contribute to help wheelchaired folks in the state of Alabama. Mike Parker, who founded Crimson Cover Television, which I've been part of for 15 years or so. I was introduced to Mike by Travis, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
So Travis and I both knew Mike very well. We love him. We miss him. ParkerCoversAlabama.com. Again, if you'd like to help out with the nonprofit there. The Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Moving on, Travis. How about some basketball talk really quickly before we close things out here? Alabama, as we speak, 1-1 in the Players Era Tournament. Took a 10-point loss to Gonzaga, in which rebounding was once again a problem for the Crimson Tide. They come back against what I thought was an outmanned UNLV team the next night and made quick work of the Running Rebels, won that game by 40 or so, 115-70, whatever it was, 39-40 points, total rout for Alabama in the wee hours, tipped off midnight Eastern, 11 Central, and guess what? They're doing it all over again, Travis, an 11 p.m. tip against Maryland just a couple, 3 hours away from now as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell is this, the Maui Invitational? I mean, I know. You might as well be in Hawaii with these tip-off times in Vegas. I really don't get it. You know, what's the value of tipping games off at midnight Eastern, 11 yeah. Central, for such a big event? I mean – especially once you get beyond the first round games, UNLV Alabama should have played at 1 o'clock Vegas time yesterday afternoon. I know that's a quick turnaround, or 3 o'clock something.
Yeah.
But man, if I'm ESPN, not even ESPN, it's TNT and True TV and right. National Geographic, whatever the hell the channels are. I mean, what's the value in that? What's the value in that for me as a network? I mean, it's good matchups like tonight. Alabama, Maryland, if that was a Tuesday night game in December at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, hell yeah, people would be tuned in. I hope the players are still in bed. It's so damn late tonight. Right now, they should just be getting up. You know, I just don't get the times, but it was good to see Alabama bounce back like they did. You said it, UNLV. That wasn't Larry Johnson or Greg Anthony or Anderson Hunt out there last night for the Running Rebs.
But Stacey Augman wasn't Stacey Augman either.
That wasn't Stacey out there. That wasn't Armin Gilliam, if you really want to go back in the day. But yeah, look, you needed a win. How about Buzz Williams coming back on the schedule tonight? Buzz leaves Texas A&M, goes to Maryland, and you get another crack at him tonight in that late night matchup.
Well, you know, the players certainly wouldn't be complaining about a 1 p.m. turnaround, Travis, because they're getting a windfall, right? Oh, yeah. The whole deal with this players era tournament is players are getting paid, right? Yeah. So they wouldn't be complaining if they had to turn around and play an early afternoon game. I agree with you. They got to do so. There are too many eyeballs on the East Coast, right? There's CST eyeballs too. Yeah. But primarily, there's way too many eyeballs on the East Coast to be tipping a game off at midnight. I don't care where it's coming from.
No, it is. I mean, the only exception is Maui, because there's like a 5-hour time difference, you know? I mean, but it shouldn't. I don't know how the networks in this thing are, like, good with it. It's like, what the hell are we even doing at 11 o'clock or 12 Eastern, midnight Eastern? I mean, these Alabama games against UNLV and Maryland tonight, they're going to like span 3 days, I guess you could say, Central Time, because you're going to tip off at 11 one day, finish the next day at 1 a.m., tip off that same day at 11, and then finish at 1 a.m. on Thursday. That just doesn't make – I'm sure there's a sensible answer to it, but it just doesn't make much to me right now.
Let me tell you how they're going to get me, Travis. This is how they're going to keep me involved in this Alabama game at 11 o'clock that won't end until 1 a.m. something Central Time. Uh-huh. Here's how they're going to get me, because I got two turkeys to prep. I got one brining right now. I got another one I've got to get seasoned up. I want to get the grill prepped. I got my hands full late on a Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, all so that I can get up Thursday morning and have some things done and out of the way, right?
Yeah.
So that's how they're gonna get. I'll have charcoal on my fingers, right? It'll be a little messy, they're gonna have me tonight at 1 o'clock in the morning, because I'll still be doing something to get ready for turkey tomorrow.
I've got a turkey breast on the egg right outside there right now. That's probably going to come off a little bit before tip off. So I might catch the first little bit when I take that, because we're having a brunch. You know, we've got these cycles tomorrow. We've got shifts tomorrow. So we've got like later morning shift, and then we got the afternoon shift. Well, this is kind of a turkey or Thanksgiving brunch. So I've got this, breast out there smoking right now. It'll be ready for brunch, but I don't have that workload that you have. We had a brine emergency here today, by the way.
What happened? What was that brine situation?
We had a liquid issue. I would say it wasn't an issue of not enough liquid. It was too much liquid, and a lot of it ended up on the floor. We didn't like that very much, but all's well that ends well. I think it's going to be all right when it's all said and done.
No doubt about it. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I'm thinking about maybe spatchcocking one of these birds. We'll see how that goes.
Well,
maybe
both of the birds. I've always said I expected Goodbread's got so many techniques and stuff he does with his egg. I mean, I'm such a simpleton. You know, I always half expected to look a couple blocks behind our house in Tuscaloosa and see the damn space shuttle taking off
right
from behind Goodbread's house with all the stuff he had going on, all the technology. But hey, the stuff looks great, and I know it tastes great, and I know it's your thing. So hey, if it keeps you in a good place for that game tonight, that's all the better.
No doubt about it. We'll see how it all turns out. I got one brine in, and I got another one I'm going to inject.
The injection. What are you putting in there? What kind of seasoning are we getting in there? Secret? You can't tell us or what?
No, it's not a secret. I'll get some apple cider vinegar going in there. I'll get probably some Cajun seasoning of some kind going in there. Yeah. And it'll be I did a turkey breast. By the way, question. What temp are you running that breast right now?
275-ish.
There you go. Yep. Yeah.
It's a small one, so I don't have any need to try to hurry it, you know. So that's the positive for me right now. It's a smaller 7-8 pound breast, you know.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be too bad.
I'm thankful for a lot. Tomorrow I'll be thankful that the birds are all I'm responsible for, right? And Michelle, my wonderful wife, she is going to be dealing with all the sides, the apps, the desserts, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
She's doing most of the work. She's flying yeah. around the kitchen and yeah. getting 80% of the table is going to be on her, right?
Yeah.
And all I got to do is nail the bird.
Yeah, right. Protein duty's a snap, man,
yeah.
compared to
yeah.
what Michelle and Heather have got to do. Although Heather, it's kind of her deal now, you know, it's what she does. So essentially, she just brought home a lot of our stuff from the store, her store. So that helps, but you're right. I mean, these significant others, they really put on a show this time yeah. of year.
Make us look good for sure. All right. That is going to do it for this edition of the Talking Tide podcast. Want to thank our listeners and viewers. And of course, wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving with family and friends. Hope it's a great one for you.
Happy Lanesgiving. Happy yes. Lanesgiving too, coming up this
Absolutely.
Weekend.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. We didn't even get to the SEC games.
That's all right. All that matters is where the hell Lane's going to coach next year. These games don't matter. You know?
People are watching Lane close as they can, no doubt about it. All right, the Sunday Nighter coming up. Travis and I will recap the Iron Bowl on Sunday night, but be sure to rejoin us. Until then, for Travis Ryer, I'm Chase Goodred of the Tuscaloosa News. This has been the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel.